This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation despite the fact that we have two, count them, two great political parties, both of which seem to be simultaneously in the midst of suicide. David Ferris, who is a writer for The Week, who is also a professor of political science, he's actually a program director for political science at Roosevelt University, has written a powerful piece about how the Democratic Party is right in the midst of suicide and needs an intervention. Professor Ferris, thanks for joining us on the show. What is the most immediate problem that the Democrats have to deal with to avert self-slaughter?
Sure. I mean, I think that the voters handed Democrats a narrow trifecta last November and in January. And what they really need to do is to start delivering on some of their campaign promises. It hasn't been since March that the party really came through with a major legislative achievement. That was the COVID relief bill. And ever since then, they've been stalled in this pattern of simultaneously negotiating an infrastructure bill with Republicans, and then negotiating amongst themselves about a larger spending bill that would be put through under reconciliation, which they can do with a simple majority in the Senate instead of with 60 votes. And so they've been locked into a kind of a death spiral where they can't get either of these things done. And I think that voters are starting to take notice. That is, voters, when they send a unified government to Washington, I think that they expect that government to get things done. And, the political dynamics out there are hard enough for either party. It's a closely divided country. And you need all your voters on board for the next election. You need to be able to show them that you did what they sent you there to do. And they haven't done that so far.
Oh, you mentioned in your piece in The Week, which we'll post up at our website at michaelmedved.com, you mentioned that the debt ceiling needs lifting to avert global economic catastrophe. And I don't think anyone disagrees with that. Republicans, Democrats, all analysts, that unless they do something about this debt ceiling, every person literally on the planet could feel some pain. Why has there been so little response from the majority party in the House and the Senate and the White House to actually fixing this debt ceiling?
Yeah, it's a great question. I go back a little bit further and ask why we have a debt ceiling at all. But I think the main dynamic here is that Republicans do not want to give any votes in the Senate, don't want to give any votes as cover to a lifting of the debt ceiling, which they currently oppose. I mean, I think the Republicans would say, we'd rather cut spending, and then we wouldn't have to lift this thing, right? And they want Democrats to have complete ownership of the debt ceiling, of raising the debt ceiling, and of the optics of raising the debt ceiling. And so essentially what Republicans are asking Democrats to do is to either put the debt ceiling into the reconciliation package and pass it with a simple majority, or they will have to set aside the filibuster rule in the Senate to get this done with a simple majority. And there's, the same handful of Democrats in the Senate in particular that are opposed to changing the filibuster rule are seemingly at this moment still standing in the way of lifting the debt ceiling by a simple majority. And I do have to think that, even if it happens at the very last minute, cooler heads will prevail here. But it's just one more problem on the plate, and we have a lot of problems to deal with right now.
Wasn't there a promise that we were going to have meaningful immigration reform, finally, that we would do something about what is a completely dysfunctional and broken system?
Yeah, we've been talking about comprehensive immigration reform since 2006, 2007.
Yep.
And we haven't been able to get that done either. The Democrats tried to put this into that reconciliation package, and they were overruled.
Parliamentarian, yeah.
Yeah.
But again, the mess is so obvious with so many things looming. I mean, they've got to get this debt ceiling thing done. It's by some time in October, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it should be sometime in October. It's calculations
which is 2 weeks.
We don't know
Come
exactly
on.
when we will cross that threshold, but the time is running short. You know, I mean, it takes time to put legislation through. It takes time to get votes. You got to get everybody to D.C. and make sure you've got all 50 of your people in the room. So the longer they wait for this, the more they are opening themselves up to some sort of last minute obstacle that will prevent them from lifting that debt ceiling. And you know, Democrats can say, oh, well, we could have gotten this done if 10 Republicans would just join us to do this. But that's not the way the voters are going to see it. You know, voters perceive likely that Democrats are in charge in Washington. And if something goes wrong, then they're going to take the blame. I mean, that's the lesson of the last 20 years of our history politically, is that when the president's party makes a mistake, it's the president's party that takes the heat for it. And you have to be really delusional to think that Democrats will not suffer by being the party in charge when there's a global economic calamity that we could have prevented with a simple vote in the Senate.
Well, and that's just one of numerous calamities. I mean, there are pieces today we're just talking about on the show. There are pieces in the Atlantic and in the New York Times, the upshot section of the New York Times, where neither of which are right-wing, anti-Biden sources of information or opinion, but they're both reporting. We just had in 2020 the sharpest increase in homicide rates in history. And that somebody could say, well, 2020, Trump was still president. But the homicide rates have continued in 2021. And this in the past has been a decisive issue counting against Democrats. Don't you think something needs to be done to address that if the Democrats are going to be successful at all in 2022 or 2024?
Sure, I do. I think you could look at this from different political perspectives. I think the failure to do anything about sort of crime and criminal justice, you know, wherever you fall on these issues, they're not being addressed. And it's another area where I think Democrats look weak because they are unable to either deliver to their own voters, right, who want certain kinds of reforms in the criminal justice system, and they're also presiding over this increase in homicide rate. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean,
there are plenty of Democratic voters who want public safety. That's a legitimate issue. Very quickly, David Farris, and appreciate your time. If you had the ear of, say, Chuck Schumer, what should he do in this emergency?
Sure. I mean, I think that Chuck Schumer should play some sort of game of escape room with the moderates and progressives in his caucus, you know, and say, don't come out until you have some of these things worked out, because what's at the heart of this dysfunction is the inability of really probably less than a dozen people to get on board with a piece of legislation, even if it's not exactly what they want. And he has to convince his wavering members in Congress that either they act and they take these votes together, or they do nothing and they go down together. I think the idea that any of these members of Congress are going to do well, even if the rest of the party fails, I don't think that that's sustainable. I don't think that there's much evidence that that's the way elections work anymore. The reality is that the public perceives the performance of the majority party, and then they vote very similarly across the country based on that performance. And so I think that Biden and Schumer and all the leaders of the party really need to convince Democratic members of Congress that they're putting themselves in political jeopardy, but they're also imperiling their agenda, and they're failing to serve the people that they were elected to serve.
More about Democratic political jeopardy coming up. David Farris of Roosevelt University, thanks for your contribution. We will be right back. Will socialism or free markets decide the future direction of Washington State? Washington Policy Center stands for free markets and market-based solutions, but we can't do it alone. Hear from the acclaimed CEO of Whole Foods and free market champion John Mackey, who calls capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished. And join him October 1st at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency. Tickets and information at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com. Introducing MedHead Plus, where you get all the benefits of regular MedHead members, plus you get access to anything in our MedVet History Store downloaded for free. Existing MedHead members can upgrade to MedHead Plus with a cost of only $79 per year. And for the next 30 days, new members can also join for $79 a year. MedHead Plus, get it all. Go to michaelmedved.com, find out about the new sale right now on MedHead Plus membership.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Michael Medved show, talk about the Democratic Party committing suicide. There's a little bit less of a suicidal temptation going on with the Republican Party today because of the big news of the day. And the reason I haven't treated it as big news is because it's not big news. It's something that was inevitable, that was foreseeable, and is actually a very healthy development. headline in The Hill, Trump blames media after Arizona audit finds that Biden won. Uh-huh. Former President Trump Friday, that would be today, laid into the news media. So why is this day different from all other days? Laid into the news media after a draft report of the 2020 election audit in Arizona. Remember, they had the cyber ninjas. This was commissioned by the Arizona State Senate and was very enthusiastically championed by the former president. The draft report of the 2020 election audit in Arizona reaffirmed President Biden's victory in the state's largest county and showed Trump with fewer votes than had previously been counted for him. In a statement issued through his leadership PAC, Save America, the former president called the audit report, slated for release this afternoon, a political bombshell that has uncovered significant and undeniable evidence of fraud, in capital letters. Huge findings in Arizona, exclamation point. However, the fake news media is already trying to call it again for Biden before actually looking at the facts, just like they did in November, Trump said, invoking once again his baseless claim, writes The Hill, that the 2020 election had been stolen from him. Quote, this is a major criminal event and should be investigated by the Arizona Attorney General immediately, he added. The Senate's final report will be released today at 4 p.m. Should have already been released. I have heard it is far different than that being reported by the fake news media. We'll get to any differences as soon as they're exposed. It's supposed to be happening any moment. In a subsequent statement, Trump went on to even more detail, claiming that the audit uncovered evidence of so-called phantom voters, mail-in ballots from voters who no longer live at the address on their voter file, as well as people who cast ballots in multiple counties. The fascinating thing here is they spent such a great deal of time and money, a lot of it from private donors. I know Mike Lindell was one of the people who was deeply, deeply involved. But it showed the president winning the final count after they investigated everything, counted all the ballots, recounted them by hand, and all of this supervised by Republicans and Trump supporters, and it showed President winning, President Biden, 99 more votes than he did in November, and Trump with 261 fewer votes than he won in last year's official results. Shouldn't this encourage some of the last holdouts who are actually like the Japanese troops who had never found out that the war is over? I mean, and this was true. I was fascinated with this when I was a kid. And going into the 1960s, early 60s, they'd find people in these remote islands who thought the war was still going on. The election is over. Because even if things had gone differently in Arizona, they would have needed to overturn the results in four other states. Or if you picked the right states, three other states, if you wanted. It wasn't that Arizona was the one decisive state. And the fact is, it's a significant difference, as Georgia is a significant difference. And does it help in any sense conservatives or Republicans to keep replaying this particular issue? On CNN, actually John Berman, I think, had a fairly amusing take on this. This is clip 15. Listen.
No one has lost the state of Arizona more than Arizona Donald Trump. He keeps losing again and again and again, even worse than he thought. For months, the former president has claimed that the sham partisan audit in Arizona's Maricopa County would reverse the results and somehow declare him the victor. But overnight, a draft report of the so-called air quotes audit by a group calling itself the Cyber Ninjas, found that not only did Donald Trump lose Arizona, but he lost by even more votes than previously realized. In other words, they found he was an even bigger loser than the first time around. But here's the thing. The news here isn't that this proves Joe Biden was the legitimate winner in Arizona. He already was. It didn't need confirmation or affirmation by the Cyber Ninjas. It was based on sham questions, this audit, and sham concerns, and the results of which, and maybe the goal all along, was to raise doubt, to make people believe that something might have been stolen when it was not.
Okay, is that fair? At what purpose, if anyone out there, and I'm sure there are people listening to me now who think that, well, there's still so many questions, there's still so many recounts that need to be done. They did the recounts in Georgia. I think they did three of them. They've now completed this Republican Trump Organization sanctioned recount in Arizona. At what point does this become just embarrassing and damaging to the Republican Party, and frankly damaging to the Republic? Because this is one of my great concerns about some of the ongoing dispute about vaccines and about COVID-19 and some of the misinformation that is out there, is that if you are undermining confidence with a message that our election system is unreliable, you can't count on it, if you are undermining confidence in our medical care system, it's the same kind of damage that we've seen done to our police and legal enforcement system, our law enforcement. That was undermined greatly by left-wing propaganda last year. And surrounding the George Floyd case and the grotesque exaggeration of the problem of police violence and police forces and systemic racism, that did real world damage. We were talking about that earlier with Heather McDonald. And frankly, it is going to do real world damage to Republican chances in future elections unless people come to terms with the truth. Biden, for better or worse, for worse a lot recently, is president of the United States. He won the election. Coming up, more on the pandemic and its future.
More of Michael Medved.
Wait!
In a moment.
Where are you going? I was going to make espresso.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is cheering approval of Pfizer COVID booster shots.
The majority of Americans who were fully vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine are now able to receive the booster shot 6 months after they've received their second shot.
He insisted the move toward boosters has been guided by science. Pfizer boosters will be available 6 months after the second dose for those over 65. The Biden administration had been pushing for boosters to be available for everyone. The photographer who shot the photo of a Border Patrol agent on horseback says the photo is being misinterpreted. Paul Ratche telling KTSM-TV he and his colleagues never saw agents whipping anyone. He says the Haitian men started running and trying to go around the horses. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
On the Michael Medved Show, there's some alarming news, but I think it's important that folks be aware of it. And it's news regarding the use of ivermectin, and I know that there are literally millions and millions of Americans who believe that ivermectin is a serious and effective and useful and safe, above all safe, means of dealing with COVID-19. There is this story from New Mexico, from Albuquerque. They says two New Mexicans have died due to ivermectin, as reported by news station KOB in Albuquerque and confirmed by the state's Department of Health. One of the individuals who died was reportedly battling a serious case of COVID-19. And drugs should only be used as directed, and ivermectin is not a viable treatment for COVID-19, said David Morgan, New Mexico Department of Health Media and Social Media Manager. By the way, New Mexico has had a particularly good vaccination rate, and as a result, a particularly low recent statistics in terms of hospitalizations and serious illness and death from COVID-19. In recent months, there's been a dramatic increase in calls to poison centers in Mississippi, Oklahoma, Utah, and Alabama from people who are taking ivermectin intended for animals. Meanwhile, emergency rooms are seeing more patients who consumed a version of the medicine intended as a horse dewormer. The drug has stayed in the headlines following a podcaster, Joe Rogan, saying he used it after he tested positive for COVID. And they go on here, but there's a news story just broke moments ago. A judge denied injunction that would force Christiana Care to use ivermectin, an anti-parasite drug, to treat a patient with COVID-19. Mary Ellen DeMarco, whose 54-year-old husband David was admitted to Wilmington Hospital with severe COVID-19 symptoms earlier this month, testified yesterday that her husband should have the right to take ivermectin, especially at this stage of his life, which may end soon. The Christiana Care, which owns the hospital, denied the couple's request, as ivermectin is not a part of the system's standardized COVID-19 response plans. "I want to save his life," Mary Ellen DeMarco said, she recalled thinking. She reached out to a family medicine specialist in Milton, Delaware. After speaking with David DeMarco, that specialist agreed to prescribe him the ivermectin. Because the drug couldn't be taken at Wilmington Hospital, the DeMarcos decided to switch to in-home hospice care for David on September 19th after the lawsuit's initial hearing. He took one tablet of ivermectin that day, which Mary Ellen DeMarco said was large. Okay, so he took the big tablet of ivermectin. He returned to the hospital 8 hours later in critical condition and was put on a ventilator. He was not on one before he left. "As physicians, we have ethical responsibility to not do harm to our patients," said Dr. Vinay Maheshwari, the chair of the Department of Medicine. Maheshwari testified on behalf of the hospital system and its refusal to include ivermectin on its COVID-19 treatment plan, as he oversees the team that puts forth these medical recommendations. The FDA has an entire page on its website titled, "Why You Should Not Use Ivermectin to Treat or Prevent COVID-19. While the FDA has approved limited ivermectin use in humans to treat parasitic diseases, it is primarily used in large animals like horses and cows. The size difference," this is from USA Today, "the size difference means some ivermectin may be more concentrated, so human consumption may lead to liver failure, seizures, diarrhea, and other common overdose symptoms." The problem here is just the overdose of misinformation. Could someone explain to me why you would want to believe a people really on the fringes of accepted medicine and disbelieve all of the specialists, all of the people who have devoted their lives to healing people, all of the hospitals? Do you think this hospital in Delaware wants to kill the guy they admitted? The judge ruled, by the way, "Even the terminally ill do not have a constitutional right to procure and use experimental drugs." And why is it that people would trust somebody that they read on the internet, or would trust some kind of charlatan who is, you take this Dr. Merkula, who has been one of the promoters, I believe, of ivermectin, and one of the great questioners of the vaccines, which provide by far the best chance of remaining healthy. And by the way, it's one of those things. There's a terrific piece in The Atlantic by an emergency room physician who reviews all of the medical science and reviews the truth of that Israeli study, which is constantly misquoted. I was just talking about this with my nephew, my brother's son, who is visiting us as a house guest right now from Israel. And Israel has done much better with its vaccines and with dealing with the disease, because the idea of people doubting the vaccines in Israel isn't real. And what they have in Israel right now under 7,000 total fatalities, and that's with a population of 9 million. We have 700,000. And we have a population of 330 million. So, again, the difference is dramatic in terms of the amount of death. And one of the points that this physician makes in his name is Craig Spencer, and this important piece in the Atlantic is this. He says, so let me make one thing clear. Vaccinated people are not as likely to spread the coronavirus as the unvaccinated. Even in the United States, where more than half the population is fully vaccinated, the unvaccinated are responsible for the overwhelming majority of transmission. Which, by the way, answers precisely the question that we were asked on the show yesterday by an emailer, and why other people ask, why do you care if anybody else gets vaccinated? Because, as Dr. Spencer says, let me make one thing clear, vaccinated people are not as likely to spread the coronavirus as the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated are responsible for the overwhelming majority of transmission. So if you cut down the number of people who are most likely to be responsible for transmission, the chances are you're cutting down the transmission. And you can see this in place to place in the various states and localities. The places that have more people vaccinated have less transmission and illness and hospitalizations and deaths and even fewer new cases. Dr. Spencer writes, despite concern about waning immunity, vaccines provide the best protection against infection. And if someone isn't infected, they can't spread the coronavirus. It is truly that simple. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show.
More of Michael MedVet in a moment.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833-654 pain.
Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP
is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible. Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
On the Michael Medved Show, I just got involved with a couple of serious conversations, and some of them on the record, about the upcoming election, not the election of 2022, which is actually something that needs more attention, and where both sides are having a very tough time getting together and actually making things work for 2022. But the coming election for 2024 is, given the fact that I think it's very unlikely that either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris will turn out to be the Democratic nominee in 2024. Joe Biden, not just because of his falling popularity now, he could turn that around a little bit, but it's going to be very, very tough because the level of the problems and the level of the failure and some of the level of the stupidity is just very debilitating. It's very difficult to imagine Joe Biden uniting the country even enough to win a presidential race. It's not going to happen. And he would be 82. Which is a huge problem. It's one of the things that, by the way, people anticipated, is whether or not you claim or believe that Joe Biden has cognitive difficulties, when you're his age, you are kind of a lame duck because most people are assuming he won't be running for president again. And it might be easier for him if he acknowledged that, and but he won't. And Kamala Harris is left in a situation where she's tainted by the Biden administration, and she's also incredibly inept herself. I mean, right now she's the one who's in charge of the border. You think that's a great credential for running for election? That's not going to be. So the question becomes, okay, who's it going to be for the Democrats? No, seriously, who are we talking about? At one point, people said, oh, Andrew Cuomo, he's perfect. He's presidential material, remember that? There are people in the midst of the campaign last time who wanted to go throw Andrew Cuomo into the mix, and he would be perfect because his TV presence is so terrific. And Andrew Cuomo's not available. I mean, really, really not available at this point. So who? And on the Republican side, There are tons and tons of people, and some very good people. I mean, people that I respect, and people who are talking about the presidency. But then again, there's this question of what happens with Trump? And then what happens with a pandemic? Think ahead to this. Right now, the issues of mask mandates and vaccine mandates, they're very big issues. They actually engage a lot of energy on the part of Republicans. But have you noticed that President Trump has sort of stayed away from them? He has. A lot of Trump supporters are very anti-vaccine and anti-mask, but President Trump hasn't been so outspoken on that. Why? Because he recognizes something that every Republican, every sane person should. In 2024, how many millions would we be up to if this is still a big issue in America? I mean, we are going to overcome this pandemic at some point. It's going to be maybe not totally eradicated, but at least tamed to the extent that it is no longer such a disruptive force in our lives, in our economy, in our educational system, and everything else. And then what? What happens to people who were fighting for ivermectin? What happens to people who are claiming that the vaccines that are capable of and will ultimately put an end to the critical part of this pandemic, what happens to people and those debates? How do those work out? And by the way, this is also true in the arguments that persist about the election and the results of 2020. There's this article from the Wall Street Journal. Former President George W. Bush's first campaign event of the 2022 midterms will be a fundraiser to support Representative Liz Cheney, the Wyoming Republican who is among President Donald Trump's top targets to unseat. The fundraiser will be held in October in Dallas, according to a copy of an invitation. Mr. Trump endorsed Harriet Hageman, one of Ms. Cheney's Republican challengers, earlier this month. Mr. Trump has called Ms. Cheney a warmongering fool and a horrible human being. Tell us how you really feel, Mr. President. Wyoming State Senator Anthony Bonchard has also opened a primary bid and had raised about $550,000 as of June 30th. He has a little bit of a problem because it turned out after he announced his candidacy, he had become a father of a 14-year-old girl. Of a baby. The 14-year-old girl eventually grew up. He married her. She committed suicide. It's an awful story, and he was 17. So that doesn't necessarily rule him out, but it creates a problem. Ms. Cheney, meanwhile, has responded to Mr. Trump's attacks with her two best fundraising quarters of her political career. She raised $1.5 million in the first 3 months of the year and $1.9 million in the following three. John Boehner and Paul Ryan, both former GOP House speakers, have both helped raise money for her. And Republican Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, and Mitt Romney of Utah have all contributed to her campaign from their respective political committees. Mr. Bush, in his speech that he gave on September 11th, a speech pleading for a national unity and talking about what is best of America and what we saw during September 11th, he also talked about a problem here with domestic terrorism and hatred. He said, but in their disdain for pluralism, he said, there's a little cultural overlap between violent extremists abroad and violent extremists at home, Bush said, but in their disdain for pluralism, in their disregard for human life, in their determination to defile national symbols, they are children of the same foul spirit. And it is our continuing duty to confront them. President Trump felt that was an attack on him. I don't see how. But he said the World Trade Center came down during his watch, Bush had a failed and uninspiring presidency, he shouldn't be lecturing anybody. Mr. Bush's fundraiser is scheduled for October 18th. Co-hosts for the event include Karl Rove, a longtime political advisor to Mr. Bush, who also consulted with Mr. Trump during his 2020 re-election campaign, former Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson, who served as a U.S. ambassador to NATO under Trump. So this battle, the battle that Liz Cheney is waging for re-election, is going to get a tremendous amount of attention and a tremendous amount of money, with different forces determining whether we actually do need to continue to involve ourselves as Republicans, as conservatives, as Americans, with arguing about the 2020 election, and then arguing about the January 6th riot, which was a consequence of arguing about the 2020 election. And maybe soon we can stop arguing about questions of science and public health, which are very clear. The WSJ is reporting the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Advisory Panel recommended that seniors, nursing home residents, and certain adults with underlying medical conditions should get a booster of Pfizer's vaccine, a critical step toward making the extra doses available in the coming days. And if those extra doses can bring us a little bit closer to getting back to normal, to putting aside this craziness where a woman and a man were shot, husband and wife, woman was killed because of the way they voted in 2020 and because of a campaign sign they had on their home. Where, how, we'll talk about that and more in this troubled but greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.